The Around the NFL podcast is running out of money tags.
Not really.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast presented by Head & Shoulders. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Colleen Wolf, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, people?
Hey. How's that?
It's smart because there's no way litigation, there's no litigation concerns, especially if you go with five. I would go six maybe just to completely cover your ass.
Maybe next week.
Slightly
keep adding. Yeah.
Maybe more than we're asking for, but keep workshopping that.
By like next season, the entire show will just be Colleen saying, hey.
Be an improvement in some ways.
Oh!
Greg, we're 12 seconds into the show and you buried the production already.
That's just Greg's sense of humor, guys, and I like it.
Yeah.
It's fun. Yes, this is the Tuesday edition of the Around the NFL podcast. It is the trade deadline bonanza episode.
Nice.
I think spectacular.
I think spectacular. I think the trade deadline finally grew up. It's all grown up.
Really?
In the NFL. It's a real fun thing now. It gets to join basketball and baseball. I don't know what's going on in hockey. But now, like the trade deadline football, I feel like, Greg, now it has some legitimacy as something where big stuff can happen.
Where you can expect something to happen. It actually does. It hasn't really the last few years. Some years it has, some it hasn't. But I think the Patriots have helped kickstart this. They have made...
Yes.
Not just because of the Jimmy Garoppolo trade, which we'll get to, but they have made 8 or 9 trades this year. I forget what the number is as we're taping this. No one in the NFL made more than 6 last year, and they were the leaders in 6. And now everyone's thinking, ooh, trading's the new cool thing the Patriots are
that
doing.
That team seems to know what they're doing.
Shocking.
Although a lot of the trades haven't really worked out too well, but that, forget about that.
Coming up on today's show. Oh, yeah. So much to get to. We're going to go through the 3 big trades and anything else that comes across the wire before we finish. Winners and losers of each of those deals. Then we have some games to talk about. We have the Monday Night Football recap between the Broncos and Chiefs. Chiefs getting off the schneid. And then the Thursday Night Football preview between the Bills and Jets at the Meadowlands. Week 9, Mark, we are more than halfway done with the season.
Nonsense.
What do you mean?
We've mentioned this roughly 70 times on this podcast. I think about week 12 is the midpoint. There are teams that haven't even played 8 games. Give me a break.
And
5 weeks of playoffs. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Halfway home, Mark, until you're kicking your legs up with a martini in your little back shed by yourself.
I just had one for the first time in like years the other night.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
You should just
nothing stopping
now.
Me from having a martini in
I don't think the season has stopped, Mark.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just me. I'm the only one with some sort of apparent issue off the field. Okay. Sure.
Anyway, so there you go. That's today's episode. Happy Halloween to everyone in the States. It's going to be fun for the 3 of us with kids. And Colleen, you and Gonzo are those type of people that treat your pets as people. So I guess you're probably dressing them up in costumes.
No, this is their least favorite holiday of the year, the dogs, because they don't like kids.
Doorbell ringing.
Yeah, it's a lot. They get really scared.
And I thought our friend Neil Reynolds on Sky Sport pointed out, Halloween does take place in the rest of the world, including,
not really, though.
And lots of other places.
If you were paying attention to what Neil said, he even called it...
Not as big.
He even called it a little bit ridiculous, I think was his word.
We go over the top.
That we as a country, and I love it, by the way, one of my favorite holidays. I like that everyone kind of gets in the spirit. I'm way in on Halloween.
You decorate?
Decorate. It was fun when I was a kid. Then in college, it was fun. The parties and early 20s, mid 20s life in New York City. So much fun Halloween parties. Now I got kids. There was like a gap from like 30 to 35.
Young 30s.
Where it was all over for Halloween. It was just kind of a little bit annoying.
Right.
But now it's back all
what
the
a
way
revival,
with kids.
I like the kid aspect. The rest of it, take it or leave it.
Deal with it, Neil Reynolds.
By the way, you're asking Neil Reynolds if the United Kingdom has computers. So you do seem to have some sort of suspicion about the rest of outside of America being up to snuff.
I certainly never said that, but it's a good bit, and I like it. We got so much to get to, so let's do it. And, yes, let's start with, I guess, the biggest trade.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Breaking news.
Whoa.
Volume up.
Speaking of computer issues.
The biggest news, the New England Patriots have traded quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo to the San Francisco 49ers for a 2018 second-round pick. The 49ers announced it on Tuesday. A bombshell trade, I think, caught a lot of people off guard. And to me, yeah, this is when the trade deadline, to me, went next level, when a quarterback, a potential franchise quarterback, gets moved and nobody saw it coming. Love it. So saucy. Here's what Bill Belichick had to say on the trade.
We probably had, in my opinion, the best quarterback situation in the league for the last, call it, 2.5 years. It's just not sustainable, given the way that things are set up. It's definitely not something that we wanted to walk away from, and I felt like we rode it out as long as we could. We, over a period of time, explored every option possible to try to sustain it. But at this point, felt like we had to make a decision.
Greg, your initial thoughts when you heard about this trade? You are a Patriots fan, a second-round pick for Garoppolo. Were you a little underwhelmed by the haul that the Patriots got for Jimmy G?
I was, because of some of the reports out of Cleveland specifically about what it would take to get Garoppolo. Now, if you really looked at those reports over the summer, they never said any team was offering that much, but the Patriots wanted a first-round pick plus or two first-round picks, and you kind of forgot about the situation. Now, the reporting afterwards, it makes a little more sense. First of all, Jimmy Garoppolo and the Patriots were negotiating in terms of a new contract, and the Patriots were pushing hard, all reports indicate, to try to get him to what would have been essentially starting quarterback money, that they would have paid him a lot of money to be Tom Brady's backup, and he wasn't interested. He wanted to be a starter. He wanted to play. And Ian Rappaport, our NFL media insider, said no one ever offered more than a second-round pick plus during the offseason. The Patriots thought that wasn't enough. That makes sense. So why not trade him for a second-round pick now?
All right, so let's get into it. A little winners and losers of this trade. Mark, we're going to start with you. Give us a winner or loser Garoppolo deal.
A winner. I will not forget watching the Cowboys-Niners game from a couple weeks ago where the Niners were getting thrashed, and they cut to John Lynch up in the booth, top of the stadium. And the look on his face, it said it all. We don't have enough talent. We don't have a quarterback. And in your offseason suddenly is about trying to wrangle Kirk Cousins away from Washington and make that happen.
Might not happen.
Everyone assuming that's going to happen. John Lynch, to be a general manager and to stick around for more than a couple years, you have to find a quarterback. And he's done it. And he's done it in a way that completely surprised everyone. When we thought, probably Cleveland is the team to go get Jimmy G. No, this came out of left field, and I think they solved a major issue. They go into the draft now with a potential first or second overall pick, and it doesn't have to be used at the quarterback position.
And you also get 7 or 8 games. He's probably not going to start this week, but you get 7 or 8 games, and you get the guy in your building to evaluate him.
They do have to sign him,
right?
But that seems like it will happen.
I think one of the losers of this is probably Kirk Cousins. Now, Kirk Cousins, he's going to get paid no matter what, so good for him, hopefully. But I think that he loses probably the best situation that he could have landed in terms of outside teams. Going to the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan, that was what I just assumed was going to happen. And now that's probably off the table.
And he's got a good coach in Jay Gruden, but I think the organization, I would take my chances going over with Kyle Shanahan, who you had a history with. I'm going to throw out another winner here. Donald Yee. Oh, you don't know Donald Yee?
Oh, we know Yee Bomb.
Not the most famous agent in the league, barely has any clients, but for some reason, two of his clients are Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo, which always
seems... So you need a second
like
client
a totally
if you have Tom Brady.
Ridiculous.
I just
want to
call him Yeager Bomb for some reason.
Ooh, Yeager Bomb.
Yeah. Love a totally it. Ridiculous
nice,
conflict of interest. And now he's got the 49ers over a barrel. You got to give him big-time money now.
What do we know about Jimmy Garoppolo besides those 6 quarters that he played? Like, who knows how good he's even going to be?
They're in a tricky spot, the Niners, in the fact that, yes, now he's in the building, but he's starting from scratch with that team, and you basically get, 2 months to evaluate him and then decide if you're going to pay him like a star quarterback.
Well,
that's a little
tricky.
They
give him the franchise tag. I think if the franchise tag didn't exist.
But then you're paying him like $20 million.
But it's 1 year contract.
It tells me that the Patriots were willing to pay him a ton and they wanted to keep him. They've evaluated him for years, so that to me
is... Well, and they also, I think they were waiting to see over these last few years if Tom Brady ever fell off, and he never did. So at some point, they just knew they couldn't keep him, and you do get a high second-round pick. I mean, it's going to be the 33rd or 34th pick.
I believe in terms of, like, a winner, I think the entire AFC East wins here. I think the Patriots win because they do get, although I thought they would get something better, still a high second-round pick that's basically like a late first-rounder given how bad the Niners have been so far this year. And they remove any of that melodrama around that quarterback room and Tom Brady, the greatest player ever, like this idea that potentially they will have to make a decision going forward whether he's going to end his career in New England or they want to go into it. That's all gone now. And if you're the Patriots, it's probably a big relief off your shoulders. Let's just move forward with Tom and see how far we can take this. The rest of the AFC East, and I'll say this as a Jets fan, I love it. Not only is Jimmy Garoppolo out of the conference, and he was giving me bad vibes as like being really, really good. I don't know, maybe it's just the Patriots thing. But
he
I
had
really,
a great six, so yeah. Seven quarters. He had a great seven.
So now he's out west in the NFC, and the Patriots are now just like everybody else in the sense that there is no succession plan in place right now. There's nothing pristine set up for them. Once Tommy Boy goes off into the sunset, we'll have this other guy that we believe can maybe take us another decade. All of a sudden now you're all in with a guy, and again, he's playing just as well as ever. He's going to be 41 next summer, and if he gets hurt, if he decides he wants – if Giselle convinces him to walk away in a year or two.
He gets – yeah, concussion or something.
If he does start to have a gradual decline because he is a middle-aged man now, they don't have anything to fall back on, and you feel like finally – you have a little hope.
Dan has Dan has a glow about him.
Totally.
Well, I calmed down with the glow.
You look skeptical,
like
Colleen.
No, I just the Patriots, I just never know what to think with them and Tom Brady and the fact that he's still playing right now the way that he is. Maybe he is going to play until he's like 50.
But he could get hurt this year, you're right. And then suddenly, like if you have Garoppolo there, you think maybe they can win a Super Bowl or contend for one with Garoppolo. Anything could happen. Tom Brady's not superhuman. And now whoever they bring in, if it's going to be Brian Hoyer, that's off the table. And that's why I didn't understand. I saw some arguments like, well, you know, all this talk and you didn't even get that much value for him. But that overlooks the fact that he was your backup quarterback for 2.5 years. He was on the team for 3.5 years. Backup quarterback is very valuable. That's a monster insurance policy. I know Tom Brady hasn't gotten hurt, but that's an important position. Like, that's more important than your starting defensive end
position. And
it's
a contract year for him.
And so they got value out of him being there. And if something had happened, they would have had a great guy in place.
I think
it didn't happen.
I'd look at it more as the end of the franchise.
And then last, but not least for me, I think the Browns are a loser here. Because you missed out on Wentz, missed out on Watson. Now, it always felt like Garoppolo, they really had the inside track. They missed out on Garoppolo, and if that report's true, that they have all this draft capital and never offered a first-round pick to get him, that to me
doesn't smell right. The other whisper, though, is that Belichick didn't want to give him to Cleveland, that he intentionally would not allow that
but
trade.
But did they offer him a first-round pick?
Well, it sounds like they didn't want him.
Believe me, listen, right. The minute this – how did I find out about this trade? Because these guys are texting me the minute it happens, and it's like somehow it's my failure as a Browns fan, and it's all heaped on me. I couldn't be more frustrated. I don't know how you don't get this thing done. And it's not just – forget Deshaun Watson. Everyone in the league could have Deshaun Watson. The Carson Wentz thing is on Cleveland at this point, and so is Jimmy G. But there is the Patriots need to agree to ship him to Cleveland, and there are whispers out there that the Patriots did not want him going to the AFC or Cleveland.
But the Browns didn't want him that much. I mean, they wanted him, but they didn't want him that much. They have not had conviction about any of these quarterbacks, and that it all makes sense in a vacuum, each decision, but as a whole, at some point, you got to make a choice. Because if all they offered was a second-round pick and change, well, they didn't want him that much. Because the Patriots, I understand why the Patriots didn't trade him. It's not quite worth it enough at that point. You don't know, you know?
And that's how one front office gets swept out of town. And if you're John Lynch, you've gotten the guy, and you've extended your life in that front office.
Another big loss, though, is your CJ Beathard bit. Because I feel like
that thing's gone.
Maybe he gets one more start here.
Yeah. On the flip side, I was kind of beating that hard into the ground. Maybe it's kind of over.
Bury that bit on Halloween.
Good for NFL fans that don't have to watch that 49ers offense anymore.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. All right, next big trade. Let's move on. The Dolphins. And this one, I woke up to the alert on the old cellular phone.
Yep.
Those used to annoy you. Are you still annoyed when that happens?
Always. Well, what was the one that got on my radar? It was like, area. It was like Dean Blandino leaves NFL to be a Fox sideline booth guy.
NFL players weigh in on first week of NBA season.
You're the insider. What? You need to be informed of these things.
I got my own thing going on. Right. I don't attach myself to the machine. I'm like a prime Jay Glazer. I don't know if Jay Glazer is still in his insider prime when he was kind of in his own like universe.
That's where you know, by the way, on your phone you can turn these alerts off. Just
right. I made the decision no notifications from anything. And it hasn't changed my life at all.
You could solve the problem.
I just want to know if you're going to throw a Super Bowl party like Jay Glazer, if you are kind of going trending in that direction.
Colleen and I attended a couple of these Jay Glazer parties, and they were always interesting, to say the least.
They were so much fun. It's like the best part of Super Bowl. Okay.
All right, let me get back on track here. Okay, so the second big trade, the Philadelphia Eagles acquired running back Jay Ajayi from the Miami Dolphins. Both teams announced Miami receives a 2018 fourth-round draft pick in return. Greg, we'll start with you on this one. First of all, your initial thoughts on this deal.
Well, honestly, it was like, oh, it's too bad Frank Gore's not going there, because that was what I was hoping for. There were some reports that they were interested.
Give up the ghost,
in him. No, there was reports that they had talked with the Colts about them. But after that, I thought, wow, what a great move for not only Ajayi. He gets to go from one of the worst offenses in the league to a 7-1 number one seed in the NFC. But what a great move for Philadelphia, who needs a little more in that running game the last few weeks. LeGarrette Blount been under, I think, 2-3 yards per carry. Hasn't done anything inside the goal line. And I think Ajayi has really been held down by that offensive line in Miami.
Let's start then with the winners and losers, and I'll kind of piggyback off that point. The Eagles fans. If you're an Eagles fan, Connie Fox, you're an Eagles fan. So I'll let you share your thoughts. But I'm thinking, as an outsider, you already feel like right now you're in the pole position as an NFC leading contender to get to the Super Bowl. And now you just brought in a guy that a lot of people agree is a workhorse type stud running back to kind of add to a position of weakness.
As I said last week, it's making me even more stressed out, because I don't like how everybody is now like, oh, the Eagles are flying high. Look at them.
It's a tricky spot, because now if they are end up being like a wild card team that loses in the first round, if you had been told that before the season, you'd be like, oh, that's great. And now it's going to be a huge disappointment, which is probably what'll happen.
When I saw about Jay Ajayi,
Greg brings it down.
I know, it's true. And that's like my comfort zone. I feel better when like everybody is just like, you know, going against the Eagles, and that's kind of my default position. But when I saw that they traded for Jay Ajayi this morning, I thought it was a joke. I was watching Good Morning Football, and I thought it was one of their bits that they were doing.
They got a lot of bits.
And I was like, this can't be real. Like, so this means that the Eagles are like in it. They're for real about this, and they're stocking up right now for the long haul. Now, I thought that it was weird, because I didn't think that they were going to get a running back at the trade deadline. I thought that they were going to go for an offensive tackle, maybe Dwayne Brown. So for me, I thought like a loser would be the Eagles offensive line, because they probably needed the most help there.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's you've lost a key player on your offense, and
you're spoiled.
It's an impossible position to replace.
Taking the throne of
you. Yeah, I like the sort of shrouded in victimhood. Now the Eagles are good. How do I handle it? I'm sitting here thinking,
how are they going to block for this all-pro young
with
our
23-year-old
stud quarterback?
They're not going to win. Like, this is
the expectations are too high around our MVP candidate.
I don't like
under center.
Here's the thing. He's only 24 years old, and he's only due $1 million total over the next year and a half. So he's essentially a minimum salary player. He is paid like a late round pick, which is what he was. They're basically getting him for free. I mean, a fourth round pick is something, but it's not that much.
It's very little. I mean, I guess some of these trades, that what you get in return is, the surprise is always how low it is.
I mean, there's a little bit of a red flag on Ajayi. Let's put that out there.
First of all, he's having a terrible year. He's averaging less than 3.5 yards carry. Hasn't scored a touchdown. Clearly, there's something going on behind the scenes for them to give up on a guy that that gets them my loser, one of my losers for this trade. The football cognoscenti.
Mm.
Why?
This trade, and to me, to a lesser extent, the Garoppolo trade, just again points out how, like, people that cover the sport, we don't really know what's going on. We think we do.
This was not on the
radar. And then this stuff happened.
We never know ahead of time.
Yeah.
Never.
But, like, for instance, like, the general consensus was that when the Patriots finally trade Garoppolo, if they did, it was going to be for a Herschel Walker type haul, not at that level,
right, but like the
multiple first round picks in the offseason. It was not like, obviously, it wouldn't happen in season. Now he's gone. Jay Ajayi, we all talked about it at this podcast. All the fantasy community talked about this is the best young running back in the football outside maybe David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Zeke, but he was right there in that next group, at the top of the next group. And then he gets dealt away for 50 cents on the dollar. Or is it? Do we even know if Jay Ajayi actually is as good as we all thought he was?
Well,
or do people that know the game, that study the tape, that do football for life behind the scenes, see that a guy that he's not that spectacular?
The Eagles apparently have been looking at him. Howie Roseman said today that they've been looking at him since joint training camp practices.
I think people love the tape. I think people that watch him and his running style love it. What the Dolphins don't love, and this – you don't need any sources on this because Adam Gase is the source. He killed Ajayi after the last game for essentially freelancing and not doing his assignment, not hitting the hole that he was supposed to, trying to break it outside, looking for big plays instead of taking the 4 or 5 yards that are there. And that doesn't work. But I trust Pro Football Focus's numbers a little bit. The Dolphins' run blocking has been one of the 3 or 4 worst
awful
in the league since Ajayi got there.
I honestly think that he's run – the stats may not be there, but when you watch the Dolphins, and when he's run well – and it's been plenty of games where he still has what he had last season. I think it's a big move for the Eagles, but for me, a loser, because this already was on my radar. The Dolphins were fun to watch down the stretch last year. It was my kind of football. They were running the ball. That's how their offense was engined. And now you've taken away Ajayi off an attack that is impossible to watch. The Dolphins' watchability ratings have been dipping all year. That's a big loser for me. Anyone that's stuck watching this team, if it's your job, if you're a fan, if like last week, I'm asked to go watch the Ravens play the Dolphins, they get blanked 40-0. Unrewarding.
I love this.
Unrewarding.
Oh, so Dolphins fans, you're going to suffer.
You had Romo. You had Romo. That's why you got to stay home. You know,
Handsome Hank, Henry Hotchin, who had Jay Ajayi, the England dude, is running back. That's all gone now.
That honeymoon is over.
That's over. And I do feel sorry for our overseas fans.
Just say Handsome Hank was one of the losers of this trade?
He's a big loser in this trade.
He is a raging loser
scenario. I talked to him maybe the beginning of September, end of August, about this very thing. How exciting is it to you, Hank, that your favorite team has this like foundational running back that's from Great Britain, and what an exciting thing it is? And he was honest. He was like, yeah, it's amazing. And just like that, that goes back to my point.
A lot of jerseys.
Wiped away.
Losers, a lot of UK fans
with
Ajayi jersey.
Oof.
We saw it at the Dolphins game.
Mm-hmm. I think you should just get, I don't want to hurt the NFL shop sales, but I really do feel like you should wait until an entire career plays out. Like, for instance, I don't really wear football jerseys anymore. I haven't been to a football game as a fan since I came to this company.
When did you stop? You said anymore. When did you stop?
Like, if I was, before I took the job, if I went to the Jet game, I'd get my old Wayne Corbett jersey out.
It's the only acceptable place to wear a jersey.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, but like this idea of getting a guy early in his career, unless he's like an absolute superstar, you got to be careful.
I think these jerseys need to have a new type of technology where the letters on the back and even the numbers are easily added and taken off, like a billboard.
Right, so change it to Drake. Then you have your Kenyan Drake jersey.
I mean, talk about a less
exciting jersey. There's a winner. Fantasy owners of Kenyan Drake.
On point, though, Handsome Hank's stock has dropped. That guy's having a tough autumn.
Our old friend LeGarry Blunt, a loser. I don't know if
he'll be on the Patriots in a month.
We've been on that. Or what's the story?
It's all
Adam
Gase
just feels like a general loser in this whole scenario because of the offense.
Yeah, but that's a fair point.
Things have gone downhill very quickly.
Yeah, I saw a lot of
like coach of the year candidate.
Like this is Adam Gase teaching him a lesson. I'm like, okay, but your team got worse, and your offense and you're an offensive coach is terrible.
I feel like Gase is trying to do everything out of desperation. He's like calling them out and saying how like terrible they've been multiple weeks, saying that they're like the offense has been garbage. I mean,
I like that he. So many coaches are vanilla. He wears his emotions on his sleeve.
Yeah,
need more of that.
Finally, the other big trade, Dwayne Brown on the move, the veteran left tackle traded to the Seattle Seahawks for cornerback Jeremy Lane, a second round pick in 2019 and a fifth round pick in 2018, Rap Sheet reported. And immediately, Colleen, we're starting with you on this one, immediately the Seahawks upgrade at a major position of weakness. Dwayne Brown, who held out for the first 7 weeks of the season, finally came back, was disgruntled, but now they get a left tackle that you can actually protect.
that's
their star quarterback.
That's the obvious winner is Russell Wilson, because he's just constantly running for his life. And I don't know how much Dwayne Brown is going to help an entire offensive line that seems to be a mess year after year after year.
Got
to
start somewhere.
But yeah, hopefully it's something for them, because Russell Wilson, he's able to do it somehow every year, and he's able to just like run around and stay healthy. But I don't know how you can really sustain that. So I think that this really helps them, especially since they're improving right now.
That's
too.
Absolutely true. And for me, the winner is the NFC playoff picture, because coming off of the game against Houston, Seattle-Houston, that was the most fascinating game we've seen in ages, and it made me believe again in the Seahawks a little bit. Now you've added a left tackle. A month ago, I was out on the Seahawks, and I thought they're going to float into the playoffs, and we're going to overrate them.
Divisional round knockoff.
It's going to be a very predictable finish. I don't feel that way now. Forget the AFC. The NFC is stocked with a bunch of interesting teams right now.
And as bad as their offensive line is, left tackle was by far the worst spot.
Odhiambo.
They had former basketball players there. I mean,
like, for what it's worth, Pro Football Focus had him rated negative 38 in their rankings. That was by far, and then the next closest person.
Did you say negative 38?
Negative 38. The next closest player, the 72nd worst tackle in the league, was negative 22. So this guy was off the scale as the worst position player at any position. And old Dwayne Brown, who's a big winner in this
one. It's only 32. You always calling everybody old lately.
Just Greg?
What?
This is a theme all season with Wes out of the picture. I'm getting ages
on his radar.
Every single
show. It's on his radar.
I mean,
you were born before 1990.
No, that's old.
Hey, he's a 10-year veteran. He's one of the best Texans of all time. He is an old Dwayne Brown.
Let me just make it clear. We sometimes comment on you being old.
Sometimes.
This
often.
Is more Greg has gotten into. It's a vocal tick lately or a conversational tick where you'll call someone old something or other.
Yeah.
Dwayne Brown,
like
not that old.
Your pal. This is like my old pal.
Okay.
Like, old
getting
Brown.
Taken down by the linguist over here.
I know how to coach old guys.
By the way, every time I hear Reese Odhiambo's name, I remember that day we all went out and you were singing Alejandro.
Oh, yeah.
And every time I hear it, I'm always like, Odhiambo, Odhiambo.
Which turned into Johnny Gonzo.
Brown's going to get paid. This was the whole point of him holding out.
Right.
He wasn't getting paid in Houston. He's going to get paid, I think, in Seattle, and he should give just a little finder's fee to old Jadeveon Clowney. See what I did there? He's not even old. He destroyed.
See, now you're noticing it every time you do it.
He destroyed Odhiambo so badly in that game. He almost won it all by himself. That I think the Seahawks felt panicked that we have to make a move right now. By the way, Rick Smith, we should mention, got a ton for Dwayne Brown. I mean, he got more for Dwayne Brown than the Patriots got for Jimmy Garoppolo. Hey, he got a second.
Dwayne Brown, who played one game so far this year.
A second, a fifth, and Jeremy Lane.
Having issues at work, not happy with your employer, skip 7 or 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And you'll come back and everything will be solved.
It helps to be like a game-changing talent, which is what Dwayne Brown can be. And to kind of put a bow on it, my winning point that you guys kind of hit on it, but Russell Wilson's a big winner. Russell Wilson's right shoulder. And you look at what happened with Andrew Luck. The Colts might have ruined Andrew Luck by not protecting him in his 20s now, and we hope that's not the case. I'm not saying this is a long-term fix, but now you have a true left tackle that can protect your franchise passer. And he's 32. He's old, but he's not old.
He's a couple of years.
He has one more year on his deal. He's going to be motivated. He's going to get paid one more time. And you might have a solution there for 5 years, 3 or 4 or 5 years. So I thought it was a brilliant trade by the Seahawks and a nice haul for the Texans. Nice deal.
It's a good deal. It's a little sign of the Texans that they're thinking about the future, that they know this team in a season without J.J. Watt, maybe not a Super Bowl team. I'm not saying they're giving up on the season, but it's not a trade you normally see out of a team that's contending for the playoffs.
And one more point that, it is a little bit interesting to me that Dwayne Brown had become the voice of reason or the leader in what was going on with management or ownership involving the comments that McNair made. Like, they saying we're deferring to what Dwayne Brown has to say on this issue and how we're handling this. And then Dwayne Brown gets shipped out of town 2 days later. What's going on in Houston for the rest of the season? It's going to be tricky, I think.
Correct. It does deserve context. With that, though, that he was pretty vocal and the relationship between Dwayne Brown and that front office was quite acrimonious. going back to the summer, I would say going back even to last year. So this was not a new thing where Brown and the organization were at odds.
Okay, that's our winners and losers of the trade deadline. Bonanza.
Hey, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Bills. Try to make your big trade, you know, before the, you know, on trade deadline day. You know, you shipped Marcel Darius. It's not going to get as much attention on Tuesday.
One more loser, by the way.
Buffalo, apparently.
Yeah. Buffalo. But one more loser, the fork committee.
Oh.
As we teased multiple times, we were going to fork some teams on today's show. Well, the loser is the fork committee because these insane trades, we had to move some things around on the show. We hope you understand, and perhaps we'll be back next Tuesday.
We'll get around by week 16 or so to getting rid of some teams from the playoff picture.
My dream of forking the fork. Alive.
Were you behind these trades on some level? You're like a regular Don Yee.
Jägermeister. Sure. Could work either way.
What a week for Yee.
Anyway. You know what that sound means?
Oh, no.
Taped the podcast earlier. We came back upstairs. Connie Fox not with us, but we need to talk one more big trade that went down right before the deadline, which was 4 p.m. Eastern. Kelvin Benjamin heading to Buffalo. Traded to the Bills in exchange for a 2018 third and seventh round pick. Rap Sheet reports the Panthers once upon a time drafted Benjamin in the first round, and he had really good rapport with Cam Newton almost immediately. Greg Rosenthal had an injury year, then a little bit of a down year, but this year it seemed like he was kind of back to being Kelvin Benjamin, and now the Panthers ship him to Buffalo. It's a great trade for the Bills, but I'm asking questions. Why?
I do not understand this trade, and I mean that literally. They have reasons, and you would assume it has to do with Kelvin Benjamin's future in Carolina and maybe things behind the scenes, but it's especially strange because they traded him to a GM, Brandon Bean, in Buffalo, who knows Kelvin Benjamin well, who was in Carolina with them. And you said it well. He's having his best season. I think he's better than he's ever been, and this is such an erratic offense. And then you just took away your best receiver from an erratic offense.
Totally baffling trade. And I did see a tweet here a few minutes ago. Bill Voth from Black and Blue Review ran into Marty Herney, who is operating as their GM this season. And I guess he says two of the biggest reasons that this happened was to get more speed on the field and use a more varied skill set from their offensive players. But, that adds literally context to this.
So they're saying, like, we already have a big guy in Devin Funchess. We need to get faster. Well, where are these fast guys? Because McCaffrey is not a good running back. He's a useful guy in the receiving game. And Curtis Samuel, who they drafted, has not stepped up. And Russell Shepard is kind of a journeyman. Like, where are these guys? They're not on this year's team.
And then on the other side, we talk winners and losers of this deal. Tyrod Taylor, huge winner here. Again, it's so crazy what's happened and transpired with the Bills. And I hope this story keeps up of them as a success story this season, because it's a nice story for the NFL. And the idea that when they made that trade and got Sammy Watkins out of town, they brought in Jordan Matthews, it was still very clear that they needed something else, that Jordan Matthews is a useful slot-type receiver, not a number one receiver. Whether you believe Kelvin Benjamin is or not is up for debate, but he certainly is a guy that can fill that role.
He's a quality starter at worst.
I just like the Bills. If you're a Bills fan, we have a few in this building, they have been tough to deal with for so long. Obviously, the league longest
the fans
playoff
the,
draft.
You're talking about
fine.
You're talking about Patrick Crawley's personality.
No, I am talking about the
way you
team.
Put it makes it seem like you're talking about they've been difficult.
No one could accuse the two of you of attempting to endlessly stir the pot. It has nothing to do with Patrick Crawley. The Bills, though, can you imagine after all you've been through, this fan base, to see this team going for it? They have a Coach of the Year candidate in Sean McDermott, and this thing is coming together. I think this is a team that's going to be very exciting down the stretch. I love this move for them.
And they, it's funny, they trade away Watkins and Darby to get some picks, and this is the type of thing you can do when you have extra picks. I mean, yeah, you want to load up and take extra draft picks when it comes time, but maybe you use it in a veteran trade. Usually that's in the offseason. Luckily for fans, we're the winners here. Nice little trade deadline.
And yes, that was good. A couple more things. Thomas Davis, longtime Panther, tweeted, bruh, with a sad face. Kaywon Short tweeted someone slapping their forehead in disappointment and or disgust, that emoji.
I mean, if you're Thomas Davis, you're at the end of a fascinating career. You don't want to see the team dumping keep members of the offense.
I didn't think they could possibly put more on Cam Newton's plate to carry this team. They have no running game, a pretty inconsistent receiver group, but they just did it. And now I'm thinking, how do you defend when Charles Clay's back? Bill's a tough team to defend in the red zone, especially. Benjamin, Matthews, Clay, McCoy. They're trying to end the longest playoff drought in American sports. Like, they're going for it. Now it's time to really take them pretty seriously.
And Greg, you're a Patriots fan. The Bills creeping up there in that win-loss column, P scale.
They're in the mix.
Your P scale. Where are you on the P scale?
Underpants, totally dry, no concerns whatsoever. 10, what a disaster. I need to get my underpants fixed. I need to get my pants fixed. Put them in the garbage. We need new
clothes.
These
are the Bills, 1.
Yeah. Wow, that is unbelievable.
Well, in a crazy world
where like the Bills somehow won the division over the Patriots, which is possible. It's like I would still expect the Patriots to get further in the playoffs.
That is called fan base hubris.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not Greg hubris, fan base. It bleeds hubris.
And you know what?
From Patriots Nation. That's what you want to call
it. What is it? Pride comes before the fall? Something like that?
That's correct.
That's where we're at.
What do you want? I mean, they won a Super Bowl. Interception on the last play. They won the Super Bowl. The greatest comeback ever. What? They don't need to do anything more.
But
we're not worried about
it. We would like, could have said three, and we'd be like, all right, yeah. But one's like, that's thumbing your nose at society, basically. All right, let's move on.
It's concerned.
There you go. There's the trade deadline winners and losers report presented. All right, let's do some news. What else is going on in the NFL? All right, Ezekiel Elliott, suspended again. Are you kidding me?
It's crazy that that's 30 minutes into the show.
Yes, the six-game suspension is once again in effect, this coming 2 weeks after a judge ruled that this ban would be, quote, temporarily restrained. And now a different judge, an entirely different judge, this judge, Catherine Faglia? I keep on trying to change the pronunciation.
No one would know.
But the spelling of the name does not let me change it.
Faglia?
I try.
You could do Faglia.
F-A-I-L-L-A.
No, I don't know.
Faglia.
Kathy F.
Anyway, she was on vacation, if you'd believe that. So when she came back, she decided, hey, by the way, now that I'm back from the coast, nice little holiday, I'm going to deny the union's request for a preliminary injunction. And what does that mean? Suspension's back, baby. So as of right now, Zeke Elliott is going to be out from Sunday all the way until December 17th. So that is huge news, Mark, for the Dallas Cowboys, and not good news.
I wonder if the Redskins are a little annoyed with Kathy F's vacation because they could potentially not have had to deal with Ezekiel Elliott on Sunday. It's a complete game changer. We just talked about the NFC playoff picture and the boon it gets from Seattle getting a left tackle.
Faglia.
There's an ebb and flow here because now the Cowboys cannot be taken nearly as seriously without their best player on the field.
Faglia.
Yeah, and I mean, especially I can't concentrate with these
Judge
your Tourette's
F.
this morning.
Judge Kathy F.
With the Eagles bringing in Jay Ajayi, and they're bringing in reinforcements in the NFC East, and you see all of the games that Ezekiel Elliott is going to miss. It's multiple division games, I believe. I'd have to look
it
at
is.
The schedule.
They also but. Are
three.
They also
yeah.
have Kansas City this week. They're at Atlanta. You know, these are not easy games.
No.
All right, by the way.
Any other judge bits?
I don't know what.
No more judge bits, but I just do want to do a brief timeline of how crazy this is. I would love, and I am not someone that's involved with the CBA bargaining. You might not believe this, but
surprising.
I have no connection to it. Mm-hmm. I would love for them all to work things out and be like, hey, when the league decides something, let's all just be on the same page and just that's what it is. And that's it. No more appeals. It is what it is, and you take your punishment. I know that would never happen, but for football fans, this is exhausting.
It's like 2 years in a row of the season being weighed down by endless court.
Right, and for what it's worth, he's still trying to get another long shot appeal, but it sounds like this truly is the end for the
Rest in peace, fair and speedy trial.
He was suspended 6 games. He appealed that suspension, and that allowed him to play week 1 while the appeal was pending.
As recently as like a few days before the season started, we thought he was suspended. I think when we previewed that game practically, we were like, oh, yeah, Zeke's not playing.
Then the suspension was blocked by a federal judge who found that Elliott did not get a fair hearing. And then the NFL appealed that injunction. That injunction was vacated, and that meant the suspension was back. And then a judge named Paul Crotty, a little Crotty bomb, he announced that the suspension could not actually be reinstated until Kathy F. was back from vacation. Kathy F. comes back from the Poconos and says the suspension's back on.
The most stunning aspect of all of this
is
that it hinges like every company on someone's vacation. Why is Kathy F. even allowed to take
you
a vacation
know why?
With a massive league-shifting event hanging in the wings?
You know why?
Why is she allowed to take a vacation?
Well, I mean...
You know what? You want to know why the answer is? As much as it seems like to us, because we're so close to it, it's just freaking football. And she's
just another case.
Kathy F.'s like, excuse me, work-life balance, going to take control.
I got to go back to the Poconos now.
Anyway, so he ain't playing. And I think it came out... the Jason Garrett said, our guy right now, and attention fantasy heads out there, we're going to ride, it appears, with Alfred Morris. But, you know, I wouldn't sleep on our other friend.
There were some trade whispers.
Darren McFadden.
Trade whispers around the Cowboys' backfield, too.
Also, one more update. This one, a terrible story in Chicago with the tight end Zach Miller, who had that... really horrific injury that he suffered in the end zone, dislocated his knee. And it was one of those worst case scenarios with a knee injury where the artery is impacted. That's
the thing that I was like, what? It was torn.
This is what happens. That's always the fear when a dislocation is this nasty. And the same thing was the fear with Teddy Bridgewater. He dodged that. But in this case, the artery was impacted, which led to a situation where there was a fear that he was going to lose the leg. We're talking about a guy losing a leg. But thankfully, it looks like right now that after a day of surgery, that they were able to do what needed to be done to restore hope that it won't be a situation where he loses the limb. We don't know for sure, but I think it's sad to say, but it's probably safe to say at 33 years old, Zach Miller's NFL career is over, but let's hope he can get back to health and be able to lead a normal life. Yikes, that's so scary.
I mean, imagine being an NFL player like him and then all of a sudden worrying whether or not you would be able to have your leg, let alone play again. I mean, I can't imagine losing a leg, being anybody losing a leg, but
well, and just
having performed at that level as an athlete and then not being able to walk or just dealing with those thoughts.
In an instant, too. I mean, that you're going up to try to make an incredible catch, which he did make.
Yeah.
And then an instant later, your life has changed. And he is a guy, and it's not a guy that we've talked about a lot on this show over the years, but he's a great example of perseverance and like what the NFL can be. I mean, he is a guy that was a fifth round pick that I believe was on practice squads, didn't even really play until he's 25 years old, but has stuck around in the league, ended up getting a pretty nice free agent contract, I think for $6 million that like he's a very close friend of Maurice Jones-Drew, who's on our air, as kind of a guy who like worked his way up, never really had any expectations and had a really great career.
We obviously wish the best for Zach Miller as he works his way toward recovery. That's what's happening in the news. All right, let's now move a little later in the show than usual, but this is a different show. Every show is different. They're all precious little, what do they call it, flowers?
Snowflakes?
Yeah.
But snowflakes has been like hijacked into a different realm now.
That's not going to fly.
Fingerprints?
Let's take it back.
We're taking back Snowflake. It's ours again.
The show is like a snowflake is what we're calling it.
You know.
Okay.
Every show is...
Please put that as like the title for the show.
All right. Let's check in with the Monday night game between the Kansas City Chiefs and Denver Broncos.
The quarterback, Smith, gets the shotgun throw. Downfield, far side, wide open, Kelce. Over the shoulder, catch of the 5. Inside the pylon, touchdown.
Oh, my goodness. The Kansas City Chiefs got off the schneid. Second time. Said that today. Not necessary. The Chiefs got 5 field goals from Harrison Butker. Marcus Peters returned a fumble 45 yards for a TD. And yes, the Travis Kelce show continued with another touchdown. He kills the Broncos every time he plays them. And the Chiefs won 29-19 in KC in a game in which Trevor Siemian, Team Trev, Greg, look completely overmatched. And after the game, here's what Vance Joseph had to say when asked about his suddenly uncertain quarterback situation.
I'm going to watch the film tonight and tomorrow, you know, obviously, like most coaches would do, and see. But tonight, you know, our defense played winning football, in my opinion. Our offensive line blocked. You know, we ran the ball for 177, and the pass pro was better. But it all falls back to turning the ball over five times. That's insane. You know, you can't win turning the ball over five times. You know, and guys work too hard, along with coaches and players, to have a big game and give it away five times. It's mind-boggling.
I love Vance Joseph's.
I do too.
I love his great honest. Voice. We talked Everything. About honest commentary from a coach, which is rare. I mean, right there.
Greg, is it possible we're going to see Brock Osweiler starting the next Broncos game?
I think it's possible. I think if Paxton Lynch was healthy, we would have seen him by now because the turnovers are everything. In this game, the turnover by Jamal Charles and Isaiah McKenzie actually ended up being even more costly than any of Simeon's interceptions, which a few of them were ghastly.
Really
Those
bad.
Those led directly to 10 points, the Charles and the McKenzie mistake. So it was like...
Wait.
Oh, no.
Is that Team Tribe Express.
Oh, no.
Hate to see it.
I think that collided heavily with something.
The body count. It's like they don't have enough body bags. And you know when it's a really bad tragedy? They didn't even have enough body bags. And that's the situation we're dealing with.
The
really
Chiefs,
dark.
The Broncos, dark. The Broncos really defense.
Played. The morgue was overflowing. They had to convert a high school gymnasium into a makeshift morgatorium. Is that what they call it?
Moratorium.
Moratorium. No?
No.
I mean, mortuary.
Yeah, I think at this point you have license to create your own words. So, yeah. Denver's defense is being wasted on this team right now. It's a fascinating defense. It's a deep playoff level defense.
They made Alex Smith look bad.
Yeah,
and they bottled up Kareem Hunt. Nobody's been able to do that.
That's the thing. Benny Fowler dropped a touchdown. You know, there was a lot of things that went wrong other than just Simeon. Although Simeon mistakes were awful. Like, he dropped a touchdown. You kind of watch this game and you thought the two offenses, if you took away the turnovers, were a draw. But the Chiefs are not going to make that many mental mistakes, and they kind of just let Denver handle.
This was the kind of game where I've lost faith in Denver having any sort of playoff push. You're going to be 3-6 potentially. The Eagles and Patriots next, and there's nothing happening on
the hardest three-game stretch possible in the NFL to
Absolutely.
Be at Kansas City, Philly, New England.
Can I just say the play call that was the most Andy Reid play call to have the trick play with Tyreek Hill where he just chucks the ball up for an interception. Like, Tyreek Hill can do so many things. Like, why not just have a regular play there? Why do you have to get cute and do that? Like, it
right.
was.
You got your Andy Reid stuff
just
going
saying,
on. Save
look,
for your therapist, Colleen.
This is my therapy session, right?
The AFC is kind of an annoying mess right now, I have to say.
Agreed.
Because if the Raiders stink and the Broncos are like, they're bad too. Then you're putting a lot of eggs in the Chiefs basket, and I don't know if they have the
goods.
What about
the Steelers are the best team in the NFL?
And I think the Steelers are definitely, you know,
my
a team
opinion.
To take serious.
I don't know. I think the Eagles have it up there with the Steelers.
But, Greg, do you at least admit that, again, if someone's looking for something different than the Patriots to come out of the AFC, like losing both, and it's becoming clear now, both the Broncos and the Raiders are not for real this year, that kind of – that adds a little intrigue.
There are limited options, but I know you're sick of me saying this, but the 2011 Giants are terrible at midseason. The 2012 Ravens are an embarrassment that lost 43-7 to
Byron
the Dolphins
coaches.
In week 14.
Yeah.
So sometimes things can turn around. Now, at this point, the Steelers and the Chiefs look like the only two teams, and that's kind of been what we thought going into the season. It's been a little predictable that those three teams – maybe not the Chiefs, but at least a few weeks into the season, they look like a Super
Bowl. I don't think the Broncos are going to make noise this year. I think they have a bad quarterback situation.
They're in the most disappointing division in the NFL based on what we thought months ago coming into this season. And there's a lot of primetime games featuring these four teams, and only one of them is very watchable
right now. Could an AFC South team get enough
Maybe,
momentum to go. It's possible.
That's what I mean. Just a little bit.
Houston, if Houston, I don't care what the record is, if Houston gets into the playoffs and gets a fair draw early on, I could see them challenging any team in the AFC.
They just lost another important defensive player to the Texans. They sustain a lot of losses.
They're 3-4. I understand the record, too. I just think there's something kind of about them that they could play with anyone in a certain situation.
Okay.
Any other thoughts?
You were so high after the Jimmy Garoppolo trade and what that meant, you know, for the Patriots kingdom falling, and now you're down again.
I'm a little bit down again. Speaking of Garoppolo, I don't want to skip this because it's worth checking in on. Tom Brady had an interview with Jim Gray. Gray comes out of mothballs in a big spot.
Those two are pals.
He's had a paid interview on Monday Night Football Radio, I think, for over a decade. I mean, it's one of the grandest traditions in sports.
And Gray also, you know, famously got the LeBron decision.
That's right.
Interview. You know, I'm going to take back that mothballs dig. The guy, like him or not, has had a nice career, that Jimmy Gray.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Jim. let's check in
he's
on what.
Definitely not listening. Tom, okay.
He's like, all right, thanks a lot, Dan. Colleague that I
talked to him at the Super Bowl once. Very nice guy.
All right, let's see what Tom Brady had to say about the Garoppolo trade.
Tom, it's going to be a lonely quarterback room. You're going to meet with yourself on Wednesday. Jacoby Brissett has been traded to the Colts. Now Garoppolo. Who's your backup?
I'm not sure.
Oh, my God.
You know, I'm sure the coaches will have that figured out here by the time we practice.
Have you spoken to Jimmy?
No, I haven't.
This is
Tom, sounds like you're surprised like everybody else. You often say on this program you're not the GM or the doctor. Are you surprised?
Well, you know, this is the time of year where, you know, we've been a part of a lot of, you know, trades our team has over the years. And, you know, again, as players, we try to show up to work every day doing the best we can do. And, you know, a lot of other things take care of themselves. And, you know, when other teams want, you know, good players, whether it's coming to our team or leaving our team, I mean, those are the types of opportunities that present themselves, they come up. So, like I said, Jimmy's been a great teammate and a great friend. And he always will be, and I want nothing but the very best for him.
Mm, cheer up.
I know he sounds very dejected and down, but I think the last thing that Tom Brady wants to do on a national interview, because he's all about preparation, is to be dealing with breaking news and responding to situations that he has no control over.
But he said it, that he spends more time with, you know, a guy like Jimmy G than in the season than he spends with his wife. And that group, him and Brissett, you got to know Jacoby Brissett's name, by the way, Jim Gray. Come on. Starting quarterback in the league.
Put him back in mothballs.
Just saying. I think they were, you know, you're tight. You're tight with this guy, and suddenly you're literally the only quarterback. It's his friend. You're bummed out.
You know, Gray's had a nice career, though. I take it back.
Really?
I'm taking it back again. Let's talk a little Home Depot Husky Tools. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
They say in life there are no guarantees. They say there's no sure thing. I don't know who that is. That's what the copy says.
Checks out.
Well, I'm here to tell you that there might just be one exception. In 1924, Husky started making things for people who make things, and they did it with common sense. That meant adding function, never frills, and making tools that stood the test of time. 93 years later, Husky is still making quality crafted, durable
tools.
Correct. And Husky stands by their hand tools for life. So they gave them a lifetime warranty, like the Husky Ratchet, with a 100 position ratcheting design and 10% long. This type of stuff. Greg likes to get in the shed.
Absolutely.
And he just rubs his hands together and says, what can I fix today? What can I build?
The workbench.
What a perfect sponsor for us. Just a couple of, you know, a bunch of real men.
You're doing it again, Greg.
I'm definitely the
realest man. You're projecting your feelings about yourself upon everyone
else. Onto us. I get in the garage. I like to fix.
Yeah, I'm saying on an overall scale, 1 to 100, I'm putting you guys well below 50. I'm the real man.
No, it was unnecessary at best, Greg.
Your feelings about yourself and your low self-opinion does not have to be conflated with
I've got
us.
The highest self-opinion in this room. Where are you at?
Dan, I see you as someone that does use tools.
My self-opinion is a problem.
Absolutely. I know how to use tools. I can change a tire if I have to. I could pop a lug nut if I need to.
I'm trying to get a circle saw. Do they make those?
Yes.
Bet they do.
I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Just bragging that you can change a tire, I think.
There is no way you have ever changed a tire, is my point.
I have.
There is no way. Prove it.
Tyra some help.
Picks or it didn't happen, Greg. You've never changed.
Why would I have picks? No, I did once.
It's like, honey, get a photo of this. Actually, get a spread of photos.
Anyway.
Back to Husky.
Oh, the virtually unbreakable Husky flashlight. Love that. Guaranteed for a lifetime. And to Husky, that's common sense. Anyway, learn more at huskytools.com. Husky, common sense tool since 1924 with hand tools guaranteed for a lifetime. Found only at Home Depot.
I like the sponsor.
Yeah.
I like it too. I'm a big fan of the Husky tools.
Greg, we'll bring you around. At some point, you're going to come into the club here and see that Husky, it's, you know, lifetime is not too long.
I think it's a perfect sponsorship. It's durable, like this podcast, long lasting.
I'm looking up drills right now, Husky brand. Yep.
Good job.
Yeah. Like a listener just fast forwarded for like 18 minutes and the ad is still being
read. Still going.
Before we get to the Thursday night football preview, I just want to say there is some breaking news. Out of Cessler Manor. And why don't you set it up for us, Mark? What has gone on in your backyard in the last couple days?
Well, if I sounded a little flaky during the Monday Night Football recap, it's because I missed much of the contest. Yes, I really did not have my facts together. I missed much of the contest because a neighbor stopped by to point out that through the fence that separates our home, her dog was going nuts and then she came around, they could hear a little animal whining and crying. And this was stationed behind a big shed that I could barely even fit my arm around. But I went to the backyard with the neighbor, and what we discovered, and if you're on the video show, you can see, it was a little tiny, tiny kitten, smaller than even half my hand, that was stuck under the shed. And so we spent the next 30, 40, 50 minutes, I don't know how long it was, trying to, with bowls of milk and water and little sticks, to try to rescue this cat to come out. And finally...
A bit of a rough grip on the cat in this image we're looking at.
That is
right
actually
now.
My wife, Simone, feeding it, because I think it was probably going nuts this morning after it had slept in the...
Those are your hands.
Oh, my God.
No, it's not.
Well, we'll talk about that off the air.
What?
That was
were your hands.
That was not Simone feeding.
I was not holding that cat. Maybe someone else was, but
okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't Simone. Oh,
okay, so anyways, the point being, the cat now is like, we're hoping that the mom comes back, but it will not. It's not. Not
Simone
returned.
Suddenly with the hands of a 1987 Bill Laimbeer.
I don't know.
The pictures that you have of this kitten like make it look like this ferocious monster.
I know. It was freaking out. It was really freaking out. And honestly, when I picked it up, I didn't know if it was a cat. I thought it seemed like it looked like a...
Yeah, you were out there, you know, saving the cat while when the Jimmy G trade happened, and your response after a few back and forth where you were getting increasingly annoyed about the Browns was, I just saved a tiny kitten trapped in her yard. Don't care about Browns narratives anymore.
That's right.
And again, hey, cats, come back to us a little bit. You know who wouldn't leave behind their baby? A dog. A female dog would come back and make sure the puppy was okay. That's an indictment of the entire cat. That's a lot of Raviel
Magnifico. But we don't know what's happened to the mom.
We don't know what's going on in the mom's life right now, Dan.
Unless she is passed away on the side of a road, total La Raviel Magnifico on cats. And I'm not afraid to say that. I'll take on the entire cat.
I'm not a cat person at all. In fact, I don't trust cats, and I typically don't trust at least some cat owners. But this cat made me feel a little bit differently.
Have you named it yet?
No. We were thinking, actually, Christian, our producer.
Dan and Mark going after Big Cat in a big way.
He was suggesting, I think you suggested the same last night, that maybe the listeners could offer a name.
Mm. Oh, I love that
or
idea.
Or adopt it, right?
Yeah, because I'm also deeply allergic to cats, so it's not going to be staying at my house long term.
I'm definitely going to bring home a cat.
Well,
I love cats.
John's going to be so mad.
What was the Hey, Christian, what was the hashtag that you had thought of? I kind of liked it. The hashtag that you had thought of for naming this cat?
I think he said ATN cat.
Oh, that's good.
Hashtag ATN cat. If you can offer up some cat names. And I don't know, Mark, I'll leave it up to you if you want to maybe open up the possibility of an adoption scenario if you live in the Los Angeles area. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say I'm not.
You could like send it FedEx.
No, I'm not going to ship the cat to like, you know, Surrey, England or something. But I'd be fine if it's someone wants to come to
just
my
one
house.
Of those like flat rate envelopes.
I can't believe you found a black hat cat on Halloween in your yard.
It's a little concerning.
I want you to send a cat to England for $9,000.
Well, we had the budget for that.
That would send you way up the human decency scale. So
I think I'm already up there. I saved an animal in need.
Yeah.
There you go. So there's Catgate at Sessler Manor. Hit us up at ATN
Cat. Just ATN Cat. It's very creative.
Hashtag ATN yep. Cat.
All right, time for Shoulders of Greatness, presented by Head & Shoulders, a Thursday night football preview, Jets-Bills. But before we do that, I got to say bye to Connie Fox.
Yes, I will not be part of the Shoulders of Greatness this week.
Is this production meeting, this 10:30 production meeting?
11:30.
11:30 production meeting that important that they can't let you finish the show this week after week?
You will have to talk to them about it.
Who do we have to talk to? That's a great question.
It's the they that was in the Husky copy.
Ooh, big tool.
Yeah.
All right.
Big tool.
Good to know.
Yep.
All right, Connie, thank you.
So many enemies.
It's been real.
It's been real. It's been real interesting. There she goes, Colleen Wolf. Catch her on the Power Ranking Show on Tuesday. Wow. Catch her on Good Morning Football Weekend Edition. Catch her on Game Day Morning Kickoff on
Sunday. I thought you were going to say catch her on the 2016 Shield team for maybe one game or something.
One game every 2 years.
Yeah.
You also appeared on Pickin' with Damashek last week, also on our radar.
Well, I was not invited to this one.
You're off mic, and that ends your time on the show.
All right.
Now, Thursday Night Football. Bills against Jets. Bills, one of the best stories in the NFL this season. 5-2. I sent a tweet out, by the way, yesterday, asking what would happen in the parking lots outside New Era Stadium in Orchard Park if the Bills were actually good. Like, they've been insane for years now, and they've been terrible. Are just people going to start lighting each other on fire?
I think so that
you
would
think
be
if
the
they're good,
step.
They'll get even crazier. Just go,
it will start going like...
Okay.
Like, what is that, Caligula? It'll just, like, it will become just, like, this, like...
Some of that would be illegal, but that's
heathen
okay.
activity at the next level.
It's pretty close right now.
Or it can go in the other direction, and it could be, you know, everybody will just get really bookish and sit down with their thermos and have a sip of coffee and have a nice sandwich and then walk in nicely. Who knows? It'll be exciting.
In other words, Gillette Stadium.
Shots fired against the mall. Ooh, that one hit Greg. He's processing it, and he's struggling with it.
I don't know if that's a shot.
I think it's
it certainly is a shot.
No, it's definitely not accurate.
Oh, I like to think it's accurate.
The Bills are 5-2. Everybody is high on the Bills. They are maybe the wild card team in the AFC if you want to get excited about a sleeper in January. But they got to get there first. And to do that, they got to win games like this against a Jet team that has been tough against everyone they've played. But if you start to look at what's going on now, they're starting to now – regressed to back to kind of where you thought they would, which is losing almost every week. They're in a 3-game losing streak, Greg, and once again, they have not been able to close games. The Jets have been a quality team for 3 quarters, and then it all falls apart. They've been outscored incredibly in the 4th quarter, which I think falls on the coaching staff more than anything else.
And the quarterback. Josh McCown in the 4th quarter is exactly what you thought the worst of Josh McCown could be.
Yeah, but maybe
game management like that. Maybe that's one reason why he wasn't a starter for a long time. He doesn't play like a veteran.
That's fair. So anyway, the Jets can't close out a game. And the Bills, if you want us to really take you seriously, don't go to the Meadowlands on Thursday night and lose. Win the game.
Yeah, I've heard some bad rumors about what this Color Rush game matchup is going to look
Uh-oh.
Like. This is the one that caused a lot of problems for me a few years ago in terms of my colorblind and the other people out there that are afflicted with this terrible disease. But this is a game that the Bills should roll. I think the Bills are a good team, and I think the Jets, you're right, are kind of coming back to earth. And you're just handing the AFC East over to the Patriots.
Of course.
I don't know. The Bills, if they win this game, are going to be tied for the second best record in the entire NFL.
Yeah, and you have the Saints, Chiefs, and Patriots over the next month if you're Buffalo. So you can't you can't fall here. You got to take care of business here, and you maintain that record. The key to me, I mean, Buffalo, I like that they are not asking Tyrod Taylor to save the world. They're finally running the ball again. And all year long, they have won the turnover battle. They don't make critical dumb errors for the most part. And the one thing, though, the Jets, if they've done anything well on defense, is they have, I believe, in 5 of the last 6 games, they've had multiple turnovers. They are getting takeaways. They have hung with teams through that. And so you cannot make those mistakes against Buffalo to hang with them in this game. You got to take the ball away from the Bills.
A major problem for the Jets defense. As of right now, I don't think Mo Wilkerson is going to play.
Yep.
And in the first 5 weeks of the season or 6 weeks in the season, that wouldn't have been a big deal because he wasn't making an impact. But he has looked like the old Wilkerson in the past 2 weeks. But he has, I think, toe, shoulder, ankle injuries. And on a short week, and this is, again, why if you want to argue against the idea of Thursday Night Football existing, he's probably not going to play because they played 5 days ago.
Yeah, and we'll see when the Jets are on offense if the Bills' secondary, which has been so good, really the difference, whether they get back a couple starters and whether they let Tre'Davious White, their rookie, who's just been so fantastic, travel with Robbie Anderson, who I think now kind of deserves that sort of attention. I mean, he's so sudden. He's got great hands. He can get deep. This is a team in Buffalo that really they pride themselves on not giving up big plays. They're going to make you earn it and go down the field slowly. I don't know if the Jets are that team. I know the turnover margin feels a little fluky, but it can be fluky for a whole season. Like, that's this season's MO for this team, and I think they can keep it rolling.
This is
easy.
If you are Rex Ryan, you do not turn on the television in this game because the Jets are doing something this season that they look more organized than Rex Ryan had them in the latter years of Rex Ryan. And
he's pretty disconnected from the Jets.
I'm sure he is, but you're a Bills
3 years later.
The Bills team is basically
the Bills are about
luck. We're going to ship away every player that Rex Ryan hung the franchise on, and we're going to get better.
He's a loser in the trade deadline, too, because they trade away Darius. They trade away Ragland early in the year. They trade away Darby. It's like, here's your best players. We're going to win without them.
All right.
He's at ESPN
finding
room
ways
against Buffalo.
To go after Rex. It's over.
All right. Rex Ryan and Jim Gray are sitting in a room together listening to this
show.
Right.
That's fair.
And Doug Whaley is just as much a guy getting S'd on with that stuff. But Robbie Anderson, he had his first 100-yard gain. He put a move on Desmond Trufant that I think somebody on Twitter said it was Keenan Allen-like. His ability, he has quick feet, and he has that streak. He has significant maturity issues. I really worry about him right now in terms of whether he's a guy that
great hands
control.
I like
but he has
stuff.
Great hands. He's quick. He's fast. He's a playmaker.
He was making plays last year towards
the
end of the season.
He was. I remember having a chat with Daniel Jeremiah last year around this time, and he was like, how did the Eagles, because he went to Temple, Robbie Anderson, how did the Eagles, who had no wide receivers this time last year, not see this guy, not have him on their radar? The Jets got him as an undrafted free agent and or a late round pick. I can't remember. But anyway, Robbie Anderson has turned into the Jets' best playmaker this season. Anyway, so little fun AFC. It's basically now the Jets, the NFL schedule makers, they want to give New York team one primetime game, so they just throw the Bills and Jets on Thursday night once a year, and that's where we are for the third straight season.
Well, and this is an NFL Network only game.
Right.
So I don't know if we get Romo. I think we still might have Romo for one more.
Oh, give me Romo at least. Come on. It's the only chance I get him as a Jets fan this year.
I think like the
first half MVP, by the way, NFL.com/
saw that.
Debrief. He is the man that's dominated the first half of this season.
Tony Romo.
Samsonite. Swanson.
It's been a tough season.
Mark, not convinced.
No, I think Tony Romo has been an utter surprise in the greatest possible way, but it's like, I mean, the bandwagon is massive, and so there we go.
Shoulders of Greatness right there, presented by Head and Shoulders. Let's talk Wish. I love talking Wish. All I think about is Wish. Want to save big?
Yes, please.
Over 300 million smart and thrifty shoppers have discovered Wish, the mobile mall app that connects you to thousands of merchants. Wish makes it easy to shop fashion, shoes, electronics, kitchen gadgets, and more directly from the makers. That way you pay 60 to 90% less than what you'd pay in a, Mark?
In a mall, if you were to go to a store, if you were to go somewhere physical.
Store. Okay. No markups, no overpay. They even have an outlet section complete with products from amazing brands like
Hanes.
U.S. Polo. We got to put them in order.
Okay.
Champion. Greg?
Atari.
No. Wrangler and Hanes. And if you can wait a few weeks for delivery, you'll get lower shipping rates than almost anywhere else. No wonder it's the number one shopping app on the App Store and Google Play and the highest rated mobile shopping app in the world. And now for our listeners, Wish is offering all new users a free gift with purchase. But dedicated Wish lovers, because I know you're out there, don't worry about being left out. All listeners can get 20% off your purchase by using my code AROUNDNFL. Just download and open your Wish app, find things that you didn't even know you needed, and enter my code.
Our code.
my code around our NFL code. For 20% off your purchase.
How about you have another week until we do this show. Make a slight edit to the copy.
Talk to the people at Midroll. I'm just reading the copy.
It is offensive to Greg and I and also to Wes and to Colleen. Mm. And to our excellent production team who helped put a lot of work into this. My show.
Right there.
You adjust the copy in many other ways to just kind of smooth it out. So,
my code.
Get it together.
That's it for today's show. Hey, we will be back on Thursday with a full recap at the top of the show of Jets-Bills. And then we will go into the rest of the Week 9 games, previewing each matchup as we're wont to do. That's what we do. That's what we do here on this show. So everybody, have a great Halloween. And there's the reminder that the live stream of the ATN show is 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Mm. Overseas, that's your prob. That's a YP, not an MP. Or, as Mark would want us to say, OP, our problem.
Well, except it's not our problem. It is England's problem, and it is Germany's problem, and it is anyone else over there. Belgium.
The Emerald Isle.
Russia. I don't care who you
Trinidad.
Are.
Trinidad.
Figure it out.
The NFL Pick'em on NFL Network, also on Saturdays at 8 a.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Eastern, and 11 p.m. Eastern, and then Sunday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern. So there you go. That's it. Let's go. Let's get out of here. So much more to do today, but the podcast is over. Dan Hansen signing off for Quiet Storm, Tiny Box, the old boss, Lindsay Fulton behind the glass, Christian Anderson. Till Thursday!